is WrestleMania weekend. Fox Sports The Gamble presented by Cure Auto Insurance. It is a special edition here of The Line Change. An hour-long WrestleMania preview. The best show of the year. The showcase of the immortals. And I'm Nick. Anything else? Can you help me out here? What are the names? What do we call WrestleMania?
It used to be the granddaddy of them all.
The granddaddy of them all.
Sounds too old, apparently.
I know. That does sound kind of old, so I understand that. But we're going to do the same thing we did for Royal Rumble weekend. I got the crew together. I got the stable together. And we're gonna rock this WrestleMania show. There's the DraftKings pool for it. Heck, we have a DraftKings pool for NXT. I literally will be watching about two or three wrestling shows from Thursday all the way up. And now Wednesday, with NXT TakeOver on a Wednesday, I'll be watching shows from Wednesday till Sunday. I love WrestleMania weekend. And I'll start with you, Nick. Jason Finelli also joining me, Vaughn Johnson as well. But Nick Pacone, PhillyInfluencer.com. I want to go to you first. Favorite part of Mania weekend? Is it the amount of matches? Is it just the WrestleMania show itself? What is it about Mania that just is so appealing? Because I probably like the Royal Rumble show better, but I love Mania weekend more than anything else.
Yeah, I think it's just the lead up for me the last few years. It becomes like a season for me, and I feel like I watch some of my favorite Manias of all time on the WWE Network, or now Peacock. So it's more like I'm looking forward to old memories of how I grew up rather than the here and now. Like, I do get excited, like, for Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. I can't wait for that match. Roman, Edge, and Daniel Bryan, like, that's cool, whatever, like, okay. There's rarely any matches nowadays that I really get hyped for like I did years ago. I think the last
There's
time I
no
was
Hogan
really
and Andre
hyped
on this. Basically.
No, I think the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 was the last time I was like legitimately hyped and excited versus like maybe 32, because the buildup was really good for that, or 33. But yeah, I mean, like recent years, it's more so the name WrestleMania than, you know, the actual superstars.
All right, so I was expecting more of a hype answer. Jason, let's get us more excited for this. But Nick's absolutely right. It's kind of, I get more excited around the WrestleMania name itself and the hoopla around it than I do, I guess, the actual show now. Because there have been the last, whatever WrestleMania is where we've been booing the main event, or we have at least heard boos rain down, whether you're a Roman Reigns fan or not, but it's just, it hasn't been as appealing in terms of the matches, but it's just the weekend itself that I find great. Jason, your favorite part of Mania, is there anything that just you can't wait to see this weekend?
Yeah, it's like a celebration of wrestling. It's like our Super Bowl week, you know what I'm saying? And even more so now that there are WWE-produced television shows every day between now and next Tuesday, which is a lot of wrestling, not including everything else that's happening around the weekend. But just the name WrestleMania, just like the World Series, just like the Super Bowl, the finals, the Stanley Cup. It's wrestling fans' playoffs. It's wrestling fans' championship weekend. And then Monday starts the brand new season, the day after WrestleMania. I didn't realize just how many WrestleMania matches there have been. 383 total in 37 shows, and I know this because a YouTube channel, Cultaholic, very good wrestling YouTube channel, just did a 5-hour, 18-minute video, I think it was.
God bless him.
Ranking them all. 383 to 1. It was an interesting watch. I didn't watch it in 5 straight hours. I broke it up throughout yesterday and today.
What was the worst one on the list?
383 was Yokozuna versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 9, that quote-unquote match.
What? I can think of worse than that.
That was the worst. No. But think about it. It was nepotism. You know, he just goes, Mr. Fuji grabs the mic and says, we want to challenge you to a match. Hogan says, okay, salt, boot, drop, over. It's stupid. At least Uncle Elmer and Adrian Adonis at WrestleMania 2 fought for 3 minutes.
I'll take Sable versus Torre at WrestleMania 15 as the worst, but that's just me.
That was in the bottom 10, I believe. It was definitely in the bottom 10, and it gained a couple of points because of, quote, Torre's cool airbrushed cat suit.
What?
That's what I said. Look, the dude recorded it over a year, like a couple entries every day. He could do whatever he wants. I agree with his number one, which I won't spoil unless you want me to. His top five is interesting. His top 25 is even more interesting. But the fact that they even did it is phenomenal. I highly recommend.
That's why I meant. God bless him. Like that's a lot of work to be doing that and to sort out 1 through 383. And Vaughn already did not like 383, which is great. Vaughn, I want to go to you though, man. What is it about WrestleMania weekend? Do you like WrestleMania weekend as much as some others? To me, this is where I don't like the show. I like the weekend of it leading up to it. But what about you? That WrestleMania is just such a big deal.
Well, it's multifaceted. It's like from a community, wrestling community standpoint, it's the only time of the year where there's like 100,000 wrestling fans descending upon one city, celebrating the one thing we all love, which is pro wrestling. I know sometimes throughout the year, we can all get a little jaded. We all get a little negative towards wrestling. But at the end of the day, we all love it. And when we all get together, we just celebrate our fandom more than anything else. More than in the actual show itself, we just celebrate, hey, we're wrestling fans, and I don't get to see this many wrestling fans all in one place at once, so let's just be happy and have a good time. And you know, and there's all these other events around WrestleMania now. We got independent shows, like a Wale Mania or something like that. So it's just a week long celebration of just being a mark, being a wrestling fan, pretty much.
Isn't it also it's the one or a few times where it becomes mainstream? Like, wrestling is getting there. I think people are capitalizing and companies capitalizing, like Peacock, on the fact that wrestling is such this niche kind of genre and people flock to it. But this is usually the show and the only time of year where, you know, everything is covering it. Like, the celebrities are going to be there. Like, it's one of the biggest shows, not only of the year in wrestling, it's just one of the biggest shows ever, you know, throughout the calendar year of entertainment.
Yeah, it definitely gets all the mainstream attention, more mainstream attention than the other shows get. Because, again, like we said earlier, it's the Super Bowl of wrestling. It's the biggest show of the year. If one football game gets covered all year, it's the Super Bowl. If there's one series that gets covered in basketball, it's the NBA Finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the biggest of anything is going to get covered more than anything else. But to me, it's just about that community aspect and meeting people. Some people only see each other once a year at WrestleMania. So for a lot of people, last year was, you know, sucked because they didn't get to see a lot of their friends. Not to say they don't have any friends in their normal lives, but your wrestling friends
right,
that you communicate
yeah,
with throughout
exactly,
the year.
Yeah.
And that one time a year when we all go to WrestleMania, hey, I haven't seen you since last year. Hey, let's hang out and have fun again. But for me, I always like the aesthetics of WrestleMania because it looks so, it's such a different looking show than all the other shows, at least WWE produces. And pretty much any other show that any wrestling promotion produces. I mean, there are other stadium shows out there, but none of them quite look like WrestleMania. So I always appreciate the aesthetics. And again, it's like you said, it's our day. It's our day to fan up and be like, all right, everybody else, y'all can shut up. You're going to talk about how wrestling is fake and all this other stuff that y'all think and don't know about. But let us have our day. And WrestleMania, well, now I guess it's our 2 days.
I was about to say our days now. Not just right. One day. It's our days now. And so right. I'll start with you and I'll go with Nick and Jason. Favorite WrestleMania moment? Match, what is it for you, Vaughn? Is there a moment that you always go back to?
Favorite match would be Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. That's still, to this day, one of my favorite matches, period. Not just a WrestleMania match, but just, you know, any type of event. And as far as a WrestleMania moment, I mean, I don't know. That's tough just as far as a moment. I mean, there's been so many good ones and a lot of bad ones, but
plenty of bad.
Plenty of bad. But like I said, that match is definitely one of the best ones. I'll go as far as moments. Daniel Bryan winning the title in New Orleans, WrestleMania 30. And I know that I am of the opinion that the streak should have never ended. But having been there from when it happened, that was still a surreal moment that I'm not sure could ever be replicated. That was just a moment in time that, especially being in the building, it was like, okay, this is, I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and we'll probably never see anything like it moving forward.
And this one, probably because it's on the brain for me, because I've seen they're doing something, an untold story of this, but Edge and Mick Foley at WrestleMania, when they did that just brutal match, and Edge spearing Mick Foley through a burning table, that's great. And I'm going to take this moment because I know either Jason or Nick are going to say it, but I'm going to say it first. Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy coming back at WrestleMania a few years ago is one of the best WrestleMania moments ever. It was all right. Come on, man. It was more than all right. That building, literally, I thought that building was going, the entire arena was just going to collapse. I mean, it was just, they went bonkers for the Hardy Boys coming back. So I'll start with you, Nick, now that you wanted to chime in and let me know that it wasn't that great of a moment. Your match moment, when you think of Mania, what do you think of?
No, that's a good moment. That was, low key one of my favorites, but not near the top of the list. I actually have my favorite WrestleMania match. And my favorite world WWF title match happened at a WrestleMania. So I'll go, my favorite title match was Randy Savage and Ric Flair at WrestleMania 8. Absolutely loved everything about it, the drama, the Savage winning, like the story leading up to it. You know, I was still a kid and I was like hook, line, and sinker into it. So that was my favorite championship match. But my favorite match of all time happened at a WrestleMania, Randy Savage, lo and behold, probably my favorite wrestler of all time.
I was about to say, I feel like there's a theme here.
Yeah. And his career-threatening match against the Ultimate Warrior the year prior, WrestleMania 7, one of my favorite, actually my favorite match of all time. I had a great moment, too, with Liz and Savage reuniting after the match, like the story. It was my first WrestleMania watching live because I had become a fan in like 1990. So this was the first one I saw live on pay-per-view. And just thinking like, man, like wrestling is awesome. Even though, you know, I was like 6 years old, I still understood like, oh, these two love each other. Like, that's so cool. She must be like an old girlfriend or something. I don't know. So like my line of thinking, you know, was that of a innocent 6 year old, but I still loved everything about it. And it still holds up today, which is kind of like unheard of in professional wrestling for things from 1991 to still hold up 30 years later. And that's one of them. That's actually my favorite moment of all time, too. You know, I have others, but that's at the top of the list. And I don't think anything has been close to replicating that for me personally. So WrestleMania 7, Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior. It was like the first time I saw finishers being kicked out of. And I was like, whoa, like this is crazy. This match is crazy. And then Sherry turning on Savage and Liz coming in. And that Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan explaining, because I didn't know who Liz was. I started watching after, you know, she kind of left TV for a little bit. So them explaining, you know, she used to love Savage and she still does. And I was like, oh, like must be an old girlfriend. So that was definitely the top of my list.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You may not have, and some do have their favorite matches as WrestleMania matches, but WrestleMania moments are always going to be our favorite moments just because it's such a big stage, and it's the one that's always built up the best. And so those moments always are in WrestleMania are likely always going to be our top moments. So Jason, what is that for you? I don't know if I stole one of yours with the Hardy Boys or if that's even close. But what about you? You think of Mania match and moment that comes to mind.
Well, I have to say, both of my fellow guests have stolen my The first one was, my match was Taker Michaels 1 from WrestleMania 25, but I can add the caveat that I was there. A buddy of mine and I flew down to Houston for WrestleMania 25. Yes, we were in the building for that match. It was superb. I have never been in a wrestling crowd like that, and I don't think I ever will again. It was I had given myself a migraine. I went through such a emotional roller coaster watching that match live. Just absolutely awesome. And the two matches that followed it had no chance of being anywhere close as far as crowd noise to that one. Just an absolute dynamite match to be in the building for. And then one of my moments was Savage Warrior at WrestleMania 7. I'm sad to hear that Nick did not cry like that Rick Moranis looking kid they keep showing in the umbrella hat every time they play that clip. But I actually have an underrated match that I feel like doesn't get enough attention.
Oh, I like this.
Does. It gets a good amount of attention from the wrestling crowd, but not so much from the outside crowd. And that's Bret versus Owen at 10. That match is superb from pillar to post. You got your brother versus brother, Kane versus Abel stuff. More so, I think, than the Undertaker-Kane match at WrestleMania 14. And Undertaker's my favorite wrestler of all time. It was a technical masterpiece with a very surprising finish that actually harkened back to a move that Bret had used to win a match earlier on. Just an absolute barn burner, and I want everyone to watch that before this weekend on Peacock. Bret versus Owen, WrestleMania 10. You have to do it. And then if you want to follow
if you can
up,
find it on Peacock.
It's in season 10 of WrestleMania, the one episode of season 10 of WrestleMania. I don't know why they didn't just keep the, like, have WWE just have it be its own app, but powered by Peacock or
right.
something.
Right. Why did it have to so removed from the app? Why couldn't you just brought in the interface to it?
People are making a lot of hullabaloo about how they're censoring some things. I get why they're doing it. WWE was doing it too, but in no way. To a person who's not a fan of WWE and may explore old WrestleManias, what did you think was going to happen when they found Roddy Piper versus who was it? Bad News Brown. Thank you. That's what I thought it was. Roddy Piper versus Bad News Brown. What did you think they were going to do? Some casual, unknowing fan seeing Roddy Piper with half of his face painted black. Come on, man.
Yeah, people are stupid. Yeah. Like, you get in bed with a big time conglomerate like NBC Universal who don't want any type of controversies coming its way. Meanwhile, WWE's catalog is full of controversies, like including Katie Vick. Hope they strike that from the tape forever.
That was already
necrophilia.
The Katie Vick stuff luckily was already struck from the network. But I saw excellent tweet. Real quick, I saw an excellent tweet. Woe be to the man, to the NBC intern. Who has to find Mae Young giving birth to a hand?
Good luck.
Yeah,
good
that luck. You got necrophilia. You got a baby being punted. You got all this stuff that WWE's done over the years.
And
people think that NBC and the Universe is going to be like, well, that's all right. It's just quality entertainment. They're like, hell no, get this stuff off of our stuff. This is we brought what?
So
do we keep our receipt?
Speaking of the network, though, and going back and watching shows, real quick, just quick answers from each of you, and we'll start with Nick, then we'll go Jason Vaughn. The amount of shows you will end up watching this weekend, whether it's past, present, I will likely be in the range of about 8 to 10 shows through indie wrestling, through NXT TakeOver, and now with the two WrestleMania shows, I buy at least 5 indie shows. I know I think they're doing Spring Break this year. I haven't even checked yet, but... there are so many pay-per-views I end up buying, even indie shows. But that's about my range. Nick, how much wrestling will you be watching?
I'll probably stick to my main, like, 5 with, the 2 NXT TakeOver shows, the 2 WrestleManias, and then AEW. I should watch more indie wrestling. That's something that
you definitely should. Absolutely.
I want to do moving forward. Like, I even go on the Fight TV app. I try and watch. I'm really digging the NWA Power now that they're back. Like, I've always liked that before COVID struck. It was one of my favorite shows. So I'll continue watching that. But yeah, the indies, I don't, spend too much money on, but if something grabs my eye, I'll definitely check it out.
Jason.
There are a couple of indie matches I'm going to check out. First, I'm going to go back and watch Sakura Genesis NJPW from this weekend. Because the championship matches, I understand it did not go the way I thought it would. So I want to look at that, and I want to look at the post-match presser, because apparently the winner of the match called out two people in particular that have people's gears turning. So that's something to look to there. As far as other indie shows, I know that there's a Alley Cat is running a show called, it's like Hot Wrestling Girl S or something like that, or Hot Girl S. Or, I don't know what the name of the show is. But Allison Kay is taking on Jordan Grace, and they are two very good indie female wrestlers, so I want to check that one out. Sue Young is going into some sort of death match against a German, G Raver, I think his name is, a German death match specialist, so that's an intergender death match. That could be fun. And then GCW Bloodsport is finally doing Josh Barnett versus Jon Moxley. That one was postponed due to COVID, finally happening, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. That is one I am definitely interested in. But as far as how many shows I'll watch, I'll do what I do every Monday night, and that's have Raw on one screen of my desktop through the Hulu Live app, and then do the other things that I do as I sort of pay attention. That'll be Raw. I will watch both nights of NXT. WrestleMania, the special WrestleMania SmackDown, I'm not going to make it a point to watch, but if I can tune in, I will. I'm hosting night one of WrestleMania with some buddies. I'm going to a friend's house for night two, so I'll definitely watch those. And then Raw and NXT next Monday and Tuesday. So what's that? That's a lot. It's a lot of wrestling happening, and I hope my wife is okay with it.
Yeah, I hope my sleep schedule's okay with mine. Vaughn, how about you? How much will you be watching, going back and digging, or new stuff over the weekend?
I feel like we watched a ton of wrestling on our podcast, The Straight Shooters, as it is. So I'm taking – you have to kill me on this one. I'm not watching that much wrestling this week. I'm sorry. I can't. I got stuff to do. I will watch – I will catch NXT. I will catch WrestleMania both nights. But I want to support the independent stuff. I think in a normal circumstance, I would. But I'm busy, y'all. I can't. There's way too much wrestling available these days, man. It's too much. I got to sleep at some point.
That means you're not going to buy the $140 bundle for WrestleMania indie shows. You're not going
to
do that.
No, look, support the independents. I've gone to plenty of independent shows over the years, so don't get at me too bad. I've paid money for independent shows over the years, but I need to sleep. I'm sorry, I gotta sleep at some point. I got stuff to do in the morning. So, but if you're out there listening, support those independent shows if you do have time, because there's some good wrestlers out there, some good wrestling out there, and these promotions, because of the pandemic, need your money because of what happened last year. Yes. They weren't able to run shows, so it's fortunate for them that they are able to run shows. I would encourage everyone else, if you have time, go support them. But me, I don't have time, so I cannot. It's just feasibly not possible for me at this juncture in my life. They trying to kill me out here with all these wrestling shows. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, I'm one that'll, Thursday and Friday, I'll pick and choose my spots based on work schedule. But Saturday morning, I will likely start at 11 a.m. with Effie's Big Gay Brunch, and I will be watching that, and I'll be watching every other show after that. Heart Planet Death, I see Unsanctioned. There's a ton of it. So I will be watching from Saturday morning all the way up until Sunday, even Friday night. They have shows. Yeah, Friday night is spring break. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. So probably from Friday night into Sunday night, I will be watching wrestling, and then even Monday Night Raw after. This is one of my favorite days of the year, one of my favorite weekends of the year, so I'll be watching it like crazy. So now I want to get into the show itself. We'll make our picks because DraftKings is running a WWE pool, so we're going to make our picks for the upcoming matches for both nights of WrestleMania. But I want to start with just the excitement level. Let's start with Jason. Your excitement level for Mania. What has you interested the most? What in terms of the two nights are you really looking forward to?
Both women's title matches are at the top of my list. Both of them are barn burners. I have a feeling that by the end of the weekend, we will be talking about Bianca Sasha more than Asuka Rhea, but I think that both of those matches will be awesome. I am also a big Fiend mark. I lap all this supernatural stuff up, so I am curious how they're going to top the Firefly Funhouse match from last year, which is one of the best dissections and insider knowledge attacks on the WWE system that's ever been produced by them. One of the biggest critiques on what they do, and they made it. Just blows your mind. Every time you watch it, you find something new. So those are my three top matches. But one I think that might be underrated is Big E Apollo Crews. Now, I don't know what this Nigerian drum thing is that Apollo mentioned on Friday, a Nigerian drum match, whatever that means. I don't know. But if it's a cinematic match, like out in a field somewhere, and they beat the crap out of each other, I'd be cool with that. That might be pretty fun. I don't know if they're going to do a lot of cinematic stuff being back in a stadium, but otherwise, I don't know how they could work a Nigerian drum match, whatever that is, into the live ring. So a lot of good stuff to watch, a lot of good stuff to look out for. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon is not one of them.
No, not going to do it. Nope.
Every match I look at, with the exception of that one, I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, this could be good.
Also, get Sheamus out of WrestleMania, please. If that's gonna be his gimmick, get the hell out of here. He looks like a newspaper boy that's on steroids in the 1950s or something. He looks
like a Peaky Blinder.
Yeah, he looks terrible. He looks horrible. Vaughn, I'll go with you then next. What are you looking forward to the most? What's your excitement level? What kind of are you looking forward to?
All four of those title matches, like you said, the two women's championship matches, and I'm looking forward to the men's ones too, the triple threat match. I know some people have been making fun of the fact that Daniel Bryan has been inserted into another triple threat match once again, I don't think anybody's really clamoring for it, but I don't dislike it, and I think it could be a good person for Roman Reigns to pin if he was to win the match, so, you know, keep Edge out of a pin scenario, but I'm looking forward to the WWE championship match too, especially because I think, you know, it's a good chance to showcase Bobby Lashley to the masses, and I hope Drew doesn't beat him, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. So all four of those matches, I agree with Jason in that the Apollo Crews Big E match, I'm looking forward to. I'm not quite sure what WWE is going to do with this Nigerian drum thing, because you can't really give WWE the benefit of the doubt when it comes to Africans the course of years. I think they're doing good with Apollo so far, but, you know, Saba Simba was still a thing. That wasn't that long ago. So let's see what happens there. Let's see what happens there. But I'm happy for that they get a one-on-one match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, two, if they get the time, they're going to put up a phenomenal match too.
Right.
So much time. Good.
It's a great spot for Apollo Crews, obviously. A great spot for Big E. Two guys who've been working their tails off for years, obviously. Apollo has, and he found a gimmick that's been working for him, and he's got this spot. That's dope. Obviously, Sasha and Bianca earlier. That should main event night one. If it doesn't, that's a crime. And I'm looking forward to just having, you know, there's going to be fans there, you know, distance and not as many as normal, but there's going to be some fans there. WWE, I'm sure, is going to do the big setup, which we haven't really seen in, over a year. We haven't really seen a new stage and a big setup and the long ramp. That'll be a refreshing sight to see people there again. And even though, like I said, 25,000 each night, I think it is.
The thing I've learned, though, is even through the Phillies games, just 8,000 sounds like, just because we haven't heard it in so long, even 8,000
right,
sounds loud. 25,000 is going to sound great.
I think it's going to be 22, right. A third of the stadium.
Yeah, that sounds, it's going to sound phenomenal. I can't wait to hear
right.
it.
And they're going to be, you know, hopefully all the proper safety protocols are going to be taken in, you know, into account and all that stuff. So that's pretty cool, because, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel with this pandemic thing, and it's good to see just, refreshing. The Phillies opening day was much better with fans in stands than it would otherwise have been without them. So that's what I'm looking forward to with this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Nick, last one before we go here. You're listening to a WrestleMania preview special on The Line Change, getting you ready for both nights of WrestleMania, DraftKings pool, that we are going to be making our picks in the next segment, which is phenomenal that WWE and DraftKings have partnered up together, and now we get to talk about it here, and Sean Brace is okay with it. Nick, what are your excitement level, what you're looking for, how excited are you, and what's the match that you're looking forward to?
Sasha and Bianca is
that's
like,
gotta
highlight.
Be the one, isn't
and,
it?
And you know, I would like to like main event night two to be like the pinnacle, but at the same time, as long as the main event's night one, I think it gives them the showcase and it ends night one, you know, like in a great way, regardless. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. I'm really looking forward to a singles match with Bad Bunny to see how that's gonna play out. I think that's really, I think Miz is kind of like a perfect guy to pair with him, because I think the Miz is going to do great in the ring with him. I have a lot of respect for Miz. I've come around on him. I think when me and Vaughn started the Straight Shooters in 2015, I hated the Miz. Once he won the Intercontinental title and had that promo on Talking Smack, I did a complete 180, and I've been a fan of his ever since. So I think this is a huge sign that WWE trusts him to pair him with Bad Bunny, even Damian Priest. How about that? You know, he'll be in his corner. You have John Morrison there. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's also on night one. So Saturday night is going to be a big night for me, because you got even Lashley and McIntyre. I think that's kind of, that might not be like one of the best matches, but as long as you have Lashley, you know, win and continue looking dominant, that's what he's there for. And if you have McIntyre win again, like I don't understand what that does. So those are the three matches. The New Day and AJ and Omos, that'll be cool. Something different, you know, seeing that, and just something different with the tag teams. You know, the tag team scene's been stale forever in WWE. the Street Profits came up and looked great. But, you know, since then, it's really a whole bunch of nothing. And then night two, really nothing stands out to me. Like, Asuka, Rhea Ripley should be good. The Triple Threat main event should be good. But other than that, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, like, I'm looking forward to. Those two always work well. And, yeah, just night one is, like, my WrestleMania, though, if I had to, like, choose one of the nights. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get into both nights and make the picks. And everything you said, like, I'm actually, I love both nights. I love all the championship matches, women's and men's both really excited. But I'll go with two that weren't mentioned much, and you just mentioned one of them. But I'm excited for Cesaro and Seth Rollins. I mean, they made two ROH matches each night. Well, I mean, one for each night. Cesaro, Seth Rollins, I would love for that to open the show. Let them go 30 minutes, and let them just beat the absolute hell out of each other, and it would be so much fun. But then, also in day number two, go and get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with Logan Paul in the match as well. But this is, we've seen a lot of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens throughout their entire careers, but I think this is one of the few times and first times we've seen Kevin Owens as the face and Sami Zayn as a heel, and I feel like they're both hitting strides with their characters now too. Sami Zayn is just, I love to hate him now. He's such an ass, okay? And he's dancing all the time, and I don't like it. And his theme song I really like, and for him to make his theme song, I like such a heel move thing now, is phenomenal. But Kevin Owens is a great face. Like, Kevin Owens brought back the stunner, and he's had phenomenal matches as a face. So I think those two matches I look forward to. But again, that means we went through pretty much the entire card, except none of us mentioned Riddle or Sheamus, The Fiend, Randy Orton, Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon. But that's okay. Those matches stink. But for the most part, I think we all agree. This is ending up, it could be, but the potential is, this is a pretty good WrestleMania card, and they're not doing anything too fancy in terms of trying to bring back Hall of Famers, trying to bring back, you know, guys like Steve Austin or Shawn Michaels. They're doing it pretty straight up with their entire roster, and I think it's going to end up being a great show if they stick to that and really pull this off well. I can't wait for that. But we got to go to a break. Segment number two. Finally, our picks. The DraftKings pool is this weekend for WWE, and we're going to make our picks to maybe help you out, or you can go against us, do the contrarian plays. But our WrestleMania picks coming up next here on the WrestleMania special on the Line Change, Fox Sports The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
WDAS and W273DO Philadelphia is The Gambler, an iHeartRadio station, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Welcome back to the WrestleMania special on the Line Change, Fox Sports The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance. Nick Pacone, Jason Vanelli, Vaughn Johnson are my guests on the show today, and we went through all of our WrestleMania stuff, moments we like, things we like about Mania, the show itself, the upcoming one, what we're excited about, but now the moment you've all probably been waiting for, DraftKings pool. We have matches set, picks to be made. And so we're going to do that right now. And I won't even hesitate. I'll just start. Not going to try and pad this up. We're going to start right now. We're going to start out with a great match, Cesaro against Seth Rollins. I have a hard time. I would love to see Cesaro win, and maybe this is the Mania moment. Like, they had Zack Ryder win the Intercontinental title, and, you know, nobody really thought or would have cared too much about it, but when he did, it was a great moment. Maybe Cesaro ends up getting the win, and Seth Rollins is fine and moves on from this, but I have a feeling Seth Rollins wins this one. Nick, who do you think, Cesaro, Seth Rollins?
It was funny, a few weeks ago, I thought, I looked up Seth Rollins' WrestleMania record, and he's 6-2. So he's got a pretty good WrestleMania record.
I was about to say, Seth is the rough one for WrestleMania.
Look at you bringing up the stats. That is great.
So this is like before, I think, our WrestleMania 33 podcast deep dive on the Straight Shooters. So I wouldn't be surprised if Seth Rollins wins here, just so his WrestleMania record gets a little bit better. But I think Cesaro could use a win here. I don't think Seth exactly needs it. And I would like to see Cesaro be pushed a little bit further this time around. So I'm hoping that this is the start of that and a big WrestleMania win for Cesaro.
Jason, who do you got?
Cesaro wins this match because it's his first ever WrestleMania singles match.
It really? Oh, man.
Yes, it is. He has a 3-5 record at WrestleMania, but it's his first ever singles match on the main card of WrestleMania. And I feel like Seth Rollins is the kind of guy who wants to get somebody over. like Cesaro is very underappreciated in the eyes of the wrestling faithful. And I feel like Seth Rollins would be the kind of guy to recognize that because he spends so much time on Twitter and maybe try to get Cesaro over and give him a nice little spotlight. I think what we need to do here, the real bet here, is the over under on swings. How many times Cesaro swings?
Or how Seth long, Rollins. Like how many seconds Cesaro swings Seth
I
Rollins?
I think he goes for 100.
Wow, really you do.
100?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I think he goes, he's done it before. He has swung a man 100 times before. I don't remember what it was, but he has done it before. And what better time to try it again than in front of 22,000 people at a live WrestleMania?
Oh, I would get bored with that.
So I
don't.
Mean, we probably
I feel
would
like
too.
I would see that's one that needs a crowd though. We just mentioned like the crowd is there. That's one. The crowd would get hyped up as the longer he's going. If it's just there and you're just seeing a bunch of screens reacting to it, that's not fun. But yeah,
right.
A live
right.
crowd with, would eat that up.
With a crowd, it's a perfect time to attempt it. It's not something you do in a Thunderdome. But to answer your question, I think Cesaro wins this one.
All right, Vaughn, who do you got?
I got Cesaro. Hopefully. You know, this is the start of something better for Cesaro, unlike when he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and nothing really came of it. They tried, but it didn't really work. Even though the Battle Royal now is not even a WrestleMania match anymore. It's a SmackDown match, so go figure. But, I'm going Cesaro. He needs to win. And Seth Rollins, it's going to be fine. Even with his ridiculous outfits every week, he's going to be fine. So,
all right, next one, Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. I honestly don't care. I don't want to watch
Same.
It.
Don't care.
But it should be Strowman. But my gut is telling me Shane McMahon's going to win this. So I'm going to go Shane.
The return of the Mean Street Posse. I want to see it happen.
There you go.
Oh, my
so,
God.
I'm going Shane, too. I'm going Shane,
Joey
too.
Abs and just Rodney.
Yeah.
Make it happen. That needs to happen. You're going with Shane McMahon then. Vaughn, we'll go with you next. Shane or
Braun. Got to go Braun Strowman, and the only thing that can salvage this match as remotely watchable or anything
is
I can care for is if Braun Strowman throws Shane McMahon off the pirate ship in Raymond James Stadium. That's it. If that doesn't happen, then count me out.
But
Braun's got to win.
Is that why they're forcing in a Shane match? Is that why they're doing this? So we can.
They're forcing a Shane
where,
match because his last
cage will be.
His last name is McMahon. That's why they forced a Shane match. So, even though Triple H isn't on the card this year, so you know. But he's got to throw him off the pirate ship. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Or watch out for Kevin Owens. He might jump off the pirate ship.
I was
going
to say Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn might do that. Jason, Braun or Shane, or just not entirely. You're just going to skip it. You're not even going to pick it on the poll.
I have to pick every match.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you have to do it. Braun Strowman, I think, wins this one, and I think he does it by just throwing Shane all throughout that steel cage. Just completely, like, may throw him through it. Or what I would like is a return to the Lashley Umaga spot where from ECW, where Shane gets outside the ring somehow, or it's after the match maybe. Braun, like, escapes and then goes back in, but then Shane's ducking him, and Braun just jumps into the cage and smashes it on top of Shane would be a really cool spot. If Braun Strowman doesn't win this match, he is done. This is it for Braun. They have now tried different ways to have his character, and they've neutered every single one. So if they neuter him again by having him lose to Shane McMahon, that will be it. And his legacy will be a move where he runs around the outside of a ring that was so boring they had to add sound effects to it. No offense to Braun, but they did. They added a train noise to it for whatever reason because they thought somebody must have been having some fun at the soundboard. I don't know. But I think Braun needs this win. He needs to win, or else his character is forever shot.
And that's exactly why Vince won't let him. New Day against AJ Styles and Omos. This could end up being a really good match. I'm just going to stick with the champs. I think the New Day kind of rolls along here. And I know maybe it can go the other way. I have a feeling that it will. But I want to stick with the New Day. I want to keep seeing them, and I think they continue their run.
I always find it weird when it's somebody's first match is at a WrestleMania. Like, they did that with Big E and, like, Fandango or something like that some years back.
Could you imagine that, like, first thing of anything? Like, you know, your first game you're starting ever in the NFL and it's in the Super Bowl. Like, have fun.
Right.
Hey, good luck with you. Go out there and have some fun. Right. So, Vaughn.
But,
Who do you got in this? I just have to go New Day. I think it's
I'm going to go AJ and Omos. you know, this is almost his first match. You got to showcase him somehow. I don't think it would be a great showcase if he lost in his first match, even though he
well,
won't have to get pinned.
This could be maybe the end of AJ Styles and Omos. Like, this could be, you know,
possibly.
He doesn't want to deal with AJ Styles anymore kind of thing.
Possibly. But I'm going to go with AJ and Omos.
Nice. Jason?
I am also going to go with AJ and Omos just because I think they're going to give a new tag team the belts. Now, whether or not they actually do anything with that after the fact is another story entirely. But yes, I think the New Day drop to a new team here at WrestleMania.
Wow. Everybody's going against me. Nick, are you on my side?
I'm not. You're on the island by yourself, buddy.
See, I'm just going to be contrarian. That's all it's going to be.
I think the possible stories coming out of this match are much better if AJ and Omos wins. So I think the New Day doesn't need the titles. I think it's cool that they won them again. They could always win them again because I think they're that type of team where if they lose them, they can win it back next month or in 2 months, and it'll be like cool just adding to their legacy, which I'm a fan of because they're so unique and dynamic and as characters where it doesn't feel old to me when they win the titles again for like the 14th time or whatever. So AJ and Omos, there could be some cool stories going on, cool match endings that could happen, that they retain the titles and just stuff, different things, unique things that they could do. I can't, you know, hopefully Bruce Pritchard doesn't let me down, but I'm going AJ Styles and Omos.
Yeah, never lets you down. So that match, I was the only one that was different. So you know what? I'll do it this way for the next one. It's Bad Bunny and The Miz. Bad Bunny's going to win this. Is there anybody on this panel that on the WrestleMania special line change Fox Sports and Gamble presented by Cure Auto Insurance, Nick Pacone, Jason Finelli, Vaughn Johnson, my name is John Jansen. Anyone on this panel that is going against Bad Bunny and picking The Miz?
No.
Okay, that's what I figured. Nick? No. Jason?
No.
It's going to be Bad Bunny. All right. That was I figured that was going to be the easiest one on the card. So we'll skip through that. We all think Bad Bunny is going to win that. Damian Priest somehow gets involved and gets the win for him. Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre. I'm going to go with Lashley. I think this is an opportunity. I think Nick mentioned it. This is the opportunity to make Lashley look like just a dominant star. And then if you want to have him drop at SummerSlam or later on, you know, have him make a big run. But I think Bobby Lashley is going to have the title for a while and become this dominant figure like he should be. Nick, I'll let you kind of elaborate on that because that's kind of what it sounded like you were going with.
Yeah, I think this is the moment. You know, you finally put the title on him with no strings attached. MVP is his mouthpiece. He's probably on one of the best runs of his career. And Drew McIntyre, like we saw that, yeah, like it was a good run. He did what he could last year during COVID. I just don't think it's the time to just kind of like recrown him, even though it's in front of fans. I love what they've been doing with Lashley. I really would love to see down the road, maybe even at SummerSlam, Brock come back and you finally have Lesnar versus Lashley.
That would be great. Yeah.
And that, to me, that's like the next dream match. And hopefully it happens within the next year at some point because, you know, Lesnar is going to be a monster forever and Lashley is a monster right now. So that's the like dream match that I'm hoping for sooner or later.
Jason?
I think that they have booked this match in order to get Drew McIntyre a title in front of a live crowd. I really do. Because he didn't get one last year. And they're booking
him
in order to give him that this year. No. I'm torn. I love both of these guys. I really do. I am happy either way, whoever wins, as long as it's a classic match. But I think that this has been booked to give Drew his WrestleMania moment in front of a crowd that was taken from him last year.
That's interesting. It seems like Vaughn, you're kind of the same way here. You're in that line of thinking.
I'm going to pick Lashley to win because I like Nick. I want to see Brock versus Bobby Lashley, and that's one of those Brock matches. I think that the title could help it. But I can definitely see WWE as like a makeup for, you know, last year, Drew winning his crowning moment happening at the Performance Center. It's like, oh, you know, now you can have that moment in front of fans. We can shoot off fireworks and whatnot. He's not necessarily entitled to it, but, you know, it's like, hey, you know, thanks for carrying us, you know, helping us through the pandemic. But, and getting COVID himself. He got COVID earlier this year. But I still think Lashley should win. I mean, just put the belt on him. McIntyre, he can get the belt again at some point. But to me, like Nick said, the money match is Lashley versus Lesnar at some point in 2021.
I need it.
If you want that match and then make it feel as big as possible, you got to have Lashley go over. We've already seen McIntyre versus Lesnar, and it was all right. But I think Lesnar versus Lashley could be some money.
And I think it could be that style of match. I know Lashley and McIntyre can go longer. They're two really good and talented wrestlers, but it's going to be booked that way, right? Almost like a Brock Lesnar, Goldberg type, you know, 5 minutes, two big dudes just beating the absolute hell out of each other kind of thing. Obviously a little bit longer than five, but that's kind of what I see, because then that does truly set up the Brock Lesnar match. So I think that's going to be the case.
I just want to add, I could see them actually doing both. You give Drew that moment, and then maybe you just have a rematch next month. You have Lashley win it back, and then have, if you're going to use SummerSlam as like the setting, you have plenty of time to build to that if Lesnar winds up coming back. So I think maybe you could do both and not exactly taint Lashley's reign right now. You give Drew that moment, and you just book it in a way that Lashley comes right back and beats him again down, like, even next month or 2 months from now. So there's a way that could happen. That's why they get paid the big bucks to decide how that happens. But I could see it.
So now we're on to the what is likely, and I think should be, and I hope it is, and 100% needs to be the main event of the show, and that's Sasha Banks taking on Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. You know what? Is this another one of, it's got to be Bianca. Like, is there anybody? Mm-hmm. I'll give whoever wants to object to that, let me know, but it's all Bianca, right?
Yeah, I will say WWE has booked this feud up until WrestleMania kind of poorly, in my opinion. They team up. Can they coexist? And they're literally copy and pasting that with Rhea Ripley and Asuka right now on Raw, too. Can they coexist and all this nonsense? But this has to main event night one. This is like a big deal, not just for women's wrestling, but for, I think, black people, too. It's like two black women in a main event of WrestleMania. It's such a big stage for black women's wrestlers and black women who I think are grossly underserved as an audience when it comes to pro wrestling. Seeing two women that look like them in a major spot like this. So regardless of who wins, I still think it's a big deal because of its significance for you know, everyone involved. But with that said, Bianca has to go over. She has to.
Yeah, I think so. Jason, yeah, Bianca, Nick, Bianca.
If Bianca Belair is not holding a blue championship belt above her head at the end of night one, there will be a massive injustice, and I will be very upset about it.
Yeah, I think we all would be. You're listening right now to the WrestleMania specials, Fox Sports The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance. Tuned into the line change. Night number two now for WrestleMania. That's still a weird... Whoa, that's a weird thing to say. This one, rapid fire, real quick. It'll be Nick, Jason, Vaughn. I'm going to do it rapid fire because I don't know if anybody... It should be okay. Riddle, Sheamus. Nick, we'll start with you.
I'll say the champion retains. I'll say Riddle wins.
Yeah, I think so. Jason?
I'm with you on that. Riddle gets his first WrestleMania win.
Vaughn?
Same, but I really don't care about this match.
Yeah, I don't either. No, I really don't. Now, this next one I think should be a lot of fun. Logan Paul's involved now, and again, these two, the last time they faced, you know, it was the other way around in terms of who was the heel and babyface, but now this should be fun. I think both are hitting their stride and really cool characters at the moment. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Nick, I'll start with you. I'll go with Kevin Owens. I think he's going to powerbomb Logan Paul through somebody or something, but I'll go Owens here.
Yeah, I think maybe he'll focus attention on Logan Paul a little too much. So Sami Zayn gets the win, and I would love to see how his character reacts to that. And yeah. I think they can get more mileage out of that as opposed to if he loses. So, you know, that conspiracy type thing, see how they go with that. I'll go Sami Zayn.
Nice, Jason.
I am going Sami Zayn as well. I think this feud is just there to give Sami Zayn a little bit of a bump, kind of like how Seth Rollins and Cesaro is going to give Cesaro a bump, and Kevin Owens maybe had volunteered to be like, yeah, I'll lose to him. He's my friend. Why not?
Vaughn?
I concur. Sami Zayn needs to win. It'll be great for him, so he should win. Go Sami.
I feel like a loser right now. I mean, this could go the opposite way, and I'd be winning over all of you right now. But this is the second time this has happened. Why am I the only one on an island? Big E, Apollo Crews. Big E's going to win this one, right, guys? The match should be great, by the way. And I know there's a stipulation on it now that should be fun. But if they do it right, it should be a great match. But I think Big E... I know the new character from Apollo Crews is something they're working on, but I don't think they're going to give up on Big E this soon. I think they're going to really try and push him as hard as they can. So I'm going Big E. Vaughn, you can go next.
I'm going with Apollo Crews because he's got this new character. I think the new character will benefit from being Intercontinental Champion, and he can't lose his match first right out the gate. He's Nigerian. He can't lose a Nigerian jump match. Come on now. So Apollo's got to win.
Right. We've seen it before. Like Bray Wyatt did that thing with Randy Orton. It's like he lost his own match. They better not do that again with Apollo, I guess. You're right.
I think Big E, if he loses, he could still maybe start challenging for the Universal title, soon. But I think Apollo's be good to win for him here.
Jason?
Of course Apollo Crews wins. Of course he does. What is with you and the Big E? I get where you're coming from, sort of. But no, this is brand new character, needs the big win. Give him the rub, give him the IC title for a while. He can lose it back to Big E if he wants, or you move Big E up the card to challenge Roman Reigns spoiler for later on. Later on in the year, but no, Apollo Crews has to come out of this looking fresh.
Yeah, is this going to happen again? Split up Big E from the New Day just for him to lose to Apollo Crews.
Don't worry, I'm with you this time, John.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Apollo Crews has lost to Big E, like 10 times in a row? And all of a sudden, I don't see him just winning this one and then ending whatever the storyline they have with each other. I think whatever character they're using Apollo Crews for, that can kind of manifest itself without the title. But I do understand, the title probably helps it. But he's lost so much to Big E in title matches that I don't see this just being a different outcome.
That means it's time for him to win.
I agree. I know that's like wrestling. What's the word?
Right.
Like wrestling.
It's the unpredictable. It's the happens. Psychology of it. Yeah.
But I also don't think that if you have Big E lose the title now, does he flounder a little bit? Because SummerSlam, I think we agree, is like the second WrestleMania for WWE. What do they do with him in the meantime before, if they put him in a title match at SummerSlam? I think you kind of lose it closer to that time, maybe in June, and then maybe push him in a feud with Roman Reigns, spoiler too, with Jason. But I just don't see what Apollo Crews has right now. He's lost so much that to me, him winning the Intercontinental title would make me look at him and be like, oh, a jobber.
I'll tell you what he has. He's got a Nigerian accent now, baby. That's all he needs. In the Nigerian drum match. Let's go.
Let's go.
Quick question. Do you think Vince McMahon knows that it's not a real accent?
He doesn't care. Yeah, we hired a new person.
So I did mention before that, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt had this match, and it was all set up, and it looked like Bray Wyatt was going to win, and then Randy Orton won. They set this whole thing up, the feud, the match itself. They were doing these images on the mat that was all set up for Bray Wyatt to win, and he lost. This is all set up for The Fiend to win. Does he actually beat Orton this time? Nick, I'll start with you.
I'll say yeah, just because, I don't understand why he would come back all burnt to a crisp and then not win.
Why does Orton have to burn everything, too?
Looking like a s'more.
So, yeah, we'll have more of that voodoo coming out of his mouth and or trick gum from Pee Wee Herman. I don't know.
Gosh. Vaughn, the Fiend has to win, right?
He has got to win.
Orton again.
He's got to win, but this is so trash. I plan on... The only way for me to enjoy this is I had to be four or five beers in.
Yeah,
Sunday.
I was about to say, is this the one you either grab the other beer or grab the second plate of wings or pizza or whatever? Is that...
No, I'm going to be four or five in already probably. I'm going to enjoy this.
There you go.
That's the only way.
If he only had two before the match comes on, you pound two or three real quick.
Right. Shotgun him real quick.
Let me get ready for the match real quick. That sounds about right. And the thing that sucks is I love both of these guys, but they've just botched this so hard. Jason, The Fiend, Randy Orton, who you got?
I seem to be in the minority that I love this supernatural nonsense. And
yeah. Oh,
been.
On an island doesn't feel good, does it, Jason?
No, it doesn't. Just because I've been an Undertaker fan my entire life, so I guess I'm conditioned to it. And I also think that Bray Wyatt, when given the chance, is a brilliant. Is able to write himself brilliantly. I think there's a lot of WWE influence in this now, which has kind of set his character off course. I don't think his character is where he wants it right now. I think when he brought in Alexa Bliss, he had different ideas than to be turned into a marshmallow. But as far as how this match goes, if the Fiend doesn't win, what's the point?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
If the Fiend does, it's the same thing as Braun Strowman. If the Fiend doesn't win, he's done. He's completely irreparable, and I will be very disappointed and also looking forward to Wyndham Rotunda and AEW.
All right.
Wyndham Rotunda, stop it.
Yeah. Well, dang. I mean, Jason Fidelli went that far.
He's in his last year, and if WWE is going to keep hampering him creatively, why wouldn't he go with Matt Hardy at an AEW like Matt Hardy did in AEW and maybe have a little more freedom to do his spooky nonsense?
Man, you went very far with that, and I like it. That's what is fun about wrestling, taking ideas and going. Like, Chris Jericho's on the Stone Cold podcast. Does that mean we're going to see AEW somewhere in WWE? Like, oh, it's fun. I like all that stupid stuff.
I could just picture it now. Hangman Page take a shot of whiskey, and all of a sudden black stuff starts spewing out of his mouth. Like, I can see it now.
Yes, I want it to happen. Now, you know what? I want it to happen. Asuka, Rhea Ripley. So we all thought Bianca Belair, and this seems like another spot. Like, Asuka's great as champion, and she's a great wrestler, but Rhea Ripley had her shot last year, didn't win. Now she's getting another shot for a women's title, and I think this time she has to do it. And wouldn't it be great, Bianca Belair, and the cross feud I think you can get of if Bianca Belair, SmackDown champion, Rhea Ripley, Raw, I would love them to talk trash about each other during each show. Like, these two are now going to be the new face, and we've been looking for this. It was always Becky, Bayley, Sasha, and Charlotte, and now Bianca and Ripley are right there to be the next kind of the new women to take the spotlight, and I think she wins this one. Vaughn, are we going Rhea Ripley here?
Yes, we are. Rhea Ripley for the win.
Yeah, I agree. Jason?
1,000% Rhea Ripley wins this match.
1,000%.
And nothing against Asuka, but I feel like this is the Rhea Ripley's crowning moment. She needs to win more after last year, and she needs to come out looking as strong as possible, and the only way to do that is to bring the championship home.
Nick?
100% Rhea Ripley. You have what Jason said earlier about Braun Strowman. If he loses, he's done. I feel that same way about Rhea Ripley. If last year didn't happen, I would feel different. But she needs this win more than anybody on the entire roster right now, because she is in a spot where a loss to Asuka, as great as Asuka is, could actually like ruin her main roster stay this quickly. I truly believe that, because I don't trust WWE to make those decisions.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
To bring her back up to where she should be. They've done it with Asuka in a way, because her main roster debut run wasn't that great, but Rhea Ripley needs this win more than anybody on both nights.
Yeah, I agree. All right, now we're getting to the final match of the night, end of WrestleMania. You're tuned into the WrestleMania special here on The Gambler, The Line Change, and Fox Sports The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance. So now we're getting to a triple threat match. And first of all, I love triple threat matches, and the fact that Edge is in it, I've loved triple threat matches back in the mid-2000s with, you know, Edge and Triple H and Jeff Hardy. Oh, I love it. So now we have Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan. Nobody thought Edge was going to win the Rumble, except for me, and I picked him. But I'm actually going to go Edge here. I think the whole switch to the Rated R Superstar thing was intentional. Not just, you know, we need to save the match, and Edge isn't working as a babyface. I think this was eventually always planning to work towards getting Edge back to the ultimate opportunist, the Rated R Superstar, and I think he kind of rides that into a championship run, and then you can get either Daniel Bryan or Roman to get it back at some point. But I think this is, you get Edge as the rated R superstar back to what he was and where that gimmick was going to be. And it's not like Roman Reigns needs the title or Daniel Bryan even needs the title for one last run. I think this would really be great for Edge. And then you can have, you know, an up-and-comer or maybe a Big E versus Edge. I know Edge would love to work with Big E, but I think you get more opportunities with Edge, the ultimate opportunist, to win the title. Jason, we'll start with you. Who do you have for the WWE Universal Championship?
I have Roman Reigns retaining and pinning Daniel Bryan.
I can't do this again, Jason. Roman Reigns keep winning. I can't do it.
You need to understand that the Roman Reigns that's coming out on Sunday is completely different.
I know, but it is etched into my brain. Roman Reigns main event, Roman Reigns wins, and booze.
The booze aren't going to happen this year.
I know it won't happen this year, but it's a WrestleMania tradition, and I just want to. I don't want Roman Reigns to win. He wins too much.
It's happening, and he's pinning Daniel Bryan so that Roman Reigns and Edge can continue.
I would be like subconsciously just angry about that because I've been angry about it now for like
subconsciously. You already are angry about it.
I know.
Hasn't happened yet.
Vaughn, please tell me it's not going to be Roman. Please, Vaughn.
Oh, it's going to be Roman.
Damn,
no,
it.
Don't worry.
Come on.
Don't worry. Shh. It's okay. Roman's going to. He's ahead of the table. He's the man.
And it's great.
For the first time in his life, he's going to get cheered at WrestleMania outside of the Shield. Good for Roman. It's his time. Sorry.
Nick.
I'm not 100% positive anymore. Literally, like 20 minutes ago, I said, spoiler, I agree with Jason. Roman's going to be the winner. But the more I think about it, I could see, you know, Edge or Daniel Bryan walking away. Roman continuing his character arc by being like so angry that he needs to win the title back and kind of like changing a little bit. I'm not sure it's the right move. I'd love to see him as champion. I love this character. I don't get tired of it. I know some people have already grown tired of it, but I haven't. But I could definitely see them, you know, giving it to Edge or even giving it to Daniel Bryan and then having Roman completely annihilate them. But, you know, my gut just says they'll keep it on Roman Reigns. The whole triple threat thing is a red herring, and that's kind of what I'm going for. I think Roman will walk away. Hey, maybe I've been calling this for like 5 months. Maybe Jimmy Uso returns and helps them, and they finally have him back.
Pay per view. So. You know what? If that's on the DraftKings pool, I'm not sure yet if it is or what. But if it's on the DraftKings pool, does Jimmy Uso return? Is that a yes?
Yeah, it is for me. So
I'll go Roman retaining. Single pay per view for 5 months. Wow!
He'll come back in like Great Balls of Fire. Like yeah. What?
I can't believe I'm on an island for the last match to go over, but that's all right, I guess. Nick Pacone, though, Jason Finelli, Vaughn Johnson, I want to thank you guys for coming off the show. We have to wrap it up real quickly here because we went very long with picking the matches for a good thing. But thank you guys. Always appreciate it. We'll get all of you up on socials, and we'll get all of our picks up. Check it out at FoxPHL Gambler, FoxPHLGambler.com. Our picks for the DraftKings WWE pool for the matches this weekend. Enjoy WrestleMania, everybody. The granddaddy of them all, the showcase of the immortals, and, you know, just a heckin' good time and plenty of beers and wings and pizza to be had. Thanks again to my guests. Line Change will be back on Monday, 8 to 11, but enjoy WrestleMania.